Another of the Australian bishops who's been here for his ad limina visit is Christopher Prowse of the Diocese of Sale, a rural area in eastern Victoria bordering on the suburbs of Melbourne. He's been closely involved in interfaith relations and serves as a consultant of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. He's also concerned with the Church's outreach to the original inhabitants of Australia, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. I talked to him about the challenges of working with such a vibrant mix of faiths, ethnicities and cultural backgrounds that make up the Australian scene today.
Well, Philippa, we're lucky in the sense that we're an old but new culture. Old in the sense that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people have been there for millennia before Abraham. Yet, particularly in the last, 200 years, wave after wave of different migrant groups, and particularly since the Second World War, and in the last 10 years particularly, people from all nations are coming to Australia, bringing with them their religious background, which at the moment with the migrant intake is not always Christian. Many from Islam, Buddhism and Hinduism, and they bring a richness there. So interreligious dialogue is becoming very popular. We might have all sorts of worries about ecumenical groups that don't seem to be as numerically as well resourced as perhaps times past, but that's not the case with interreligious dialogue groups. They are looming, especially in large cities, and it is in the large cities where the laboratory of dialogue seems to be happening. I think Australians are well placed also because generally people find us a friendly people, you know, slap on the back and a laugh and come over for a meal. We're friendly, and also one of the great miracles of Australia has been that generally people, when they come to this new land, new but ancient land, they haven't brought the historic animosities with them of a political and tribal background, and they want to make a fresh start with a new family. So that's what's happening. And I think so the Australian and Australians in general, it's a good place, I think, for interreligious dialogue to take place. The negative side of that is that we can be a bit naive at times and sort of forget that the world is a lot more complicated than what we think in sunny Australia, where we've got big beaches and lots of land to move around. So we need to be careful about that. I believe, though, there's a lot of good leadership happening in the interreligious dialogue groups. They're well formed. We have national and regional conferences to form leaders. And so slowly we are making a move in the right direction. Recently, Australia has been, recent years, the home for like the Parliament of World Religions. That took place in Melbourne a couple of years ago. But there's always something happening. It's the place where people want to go, and there's a place where we can sit down. It means that Catholics do need to know about their faith. You never gather around the table of dialogue in a tabula rasa fashion. And if it's true interreligious dialogue, I become a better Catholic through it. And my Muslim friend becomes a better Muslim. My Hindu friend becomes a better Hindu. And so it really happens along that line, that it's not just trying to move towards a syncretism or relativism or any other ism. It's really a way of making peace in a troubled world by profound respect and also tapping into the transcendent dimensions that are part of being a human person.
You talked about Australia as a nation of immigrants, and yet the government is having particular difficulties with its immigration policy, and the church traditionally has been quite outspoken on many occasions in criticising the government on its immigration policy. Where do you see the role of the church in this ongoing debate?
Well, I think the church continues to have a prophetic role here. The issue of refugee and migrants coming to Australia in all sorts of troubled ways is something that disturbs the Australian conscience. But because it's so highly politicised and the Pearson government political situation in Australia is very vague and divided, it's unfortunately people become the objects rather than the subjects of government policies, particularly those coming in boats. I don't know, strangely, most refugees come in planes, but there's something in our psyche that if they come in boats, we get terribly upset about it. It might go back to the fact that we Europeans arrived in Australia in boats at the start. I'm not sure about it, but if you come in a boat without the requisite documents, there's all sorts of troubles. The Catholic Church continues to speak out against detention, indefinite detention. the splitting of family groups, the detention of children. We propose and offer that our families, our homes, for those that clearly don't have any risk to Australia, that they should not be in detention. They should be in the mainstream community, and that their visa application should be processed more speedily. Although I can understand, talking to politicians, that this is not easy because the documentation is not readily available. But scapegoating them and basically saying that they've jumped the queue, as they say, should go back and wait in line, all these sorts of things we hear on radio and television, it should disturb every Catholic, because there's a incipient, perhaps racism, even incipient racism behind all this, and an assumption that certain people have rights over other people. This is not Australian, but you do hear it. This is why we can't take our present friendliness and our egalitarianism for granted. It's something that we need to work on and to educate. It's a very fluid political situation at the moment. But I think this is where, I mean, Catholics in Australia, perhaps 27-28% maybe, we need to encourage our Catholics, particularly our young Catholics, to get involved more and more in the political life, to put their hand up and say, yes, I'd like to go for public office, I'd like to be involved here, rather than just to criticise from the side. It's not an Australian thing just to be barracking from the side. Get in there and start playing the game, you know. The Catholics should be involved in public ministry and in public office to make a difference, and to also to become more familiar with their faith, particularly our Catholic social teaching. It's still a bit of a hidden secret for many Catholics, although that is changing. We've got a great objective teaching to be able to offer, very subjective world, and trying to bring those two together to educate people to say what true freedom is a vital point. Of course, it must come from Catholics who themselves have had this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the encounter with the risen Lord. And this is sometimes, again, just simply taken for granted, but it can't be anymore. This is why the new evangelization is so vital, because using a theological word, we need a more charismatic approach, the proclamation of the initial good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and how opening ourselves up to His grace, that my life is changed in the community, which we call the church, and becoming sacramental in our church, gives us the energy, the motivation to be the people God wants us to be in our world today.
One other area I'd just like to touch on, you mentioned the original inhabitants of Australia, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. You have been involved, haven't you, in working with this particular group. How would you, if you like, evaluate your success in this area?
Oh, I think the word success is, if we were to measure it on that, I'd say Australians are not at all passing the test. Possibly it was about 20 years ago we had one of the biggest royal commissions into the relationship we have with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people, the first Australians who've been there for millennia. On almost every socioeconomic barometer, the Aboriginal peoples were below par, in some cases incredibly below par, that you would expect perhaps even in a third world country of the most desperate kind. So we've still got a long way to go. I think first thing I'd like to say is that I think a lot of Australians still have not sat down and had a talk to an Aboriginal person. They've seen them on the television or heard them on the radio, but befriending them, to be a friend of an Aboriginal person, can change your way of looking at it. I mean, you see from where you stand. So if you're in the armchair looking at it, you see it from one. But if you're out there actually talking to the people and listening to their story, another perspective happens. And I think politically this is still the challenge, but political parties still coming up with all sorts of initiatives with token or no dialogue with the Aboriginal communities themselves, to working together to form a policy. Now, that's been our Achilles heel since the time we arrived in Australia. We really haven't worked in a partnership with the first Australians to work out together the way forward.
So still today, a chronic lack of contact, in fact, with these marginalised communities.
I believe so. The huge cities of Australia, I think most haven't really become in contact there, and there's still a sort of a bureaucracy around the Aboriginal peoples, from mainly governmental ones, who are well-meaning people trying their best, but really deep down they sort of think, we know what's best for you Aboriginal people. So there is again an incipient racism there in the attitudes, an attitudinal racism, but not a full-blown one. And I hope, please God, that will never happen. But it's something where the popes, I mean, there's been three popes that have come to Australia, Paul VI, John Paul II, and Benedict XVI. They make a big priority to meet Aboriginal peoples. And John Paul II's statement to them in Alice Springs is often quoted by Aboriginal people, that if your giftedness is not appreciated by the Australian people, Australia can't be the sort of place that God wants it to be until you've made your contribution, and secondly, that contribution is accepted by the wider Australian.